In the house,
Tyson Ranch.
Tyson Ranch as well, yes.
And he's also making Tyson Ranch sauce coming soon.
I really don't think that's so, but
Tyson Ranch sauce is coming. Ranch, have you tasted the Tyson Ranch sauce?
No, it's like Grey Poupon.
Grey Poupon.
Hot sauces are Grey Poupon. Black people, Grey Poupon.
Tabasco?
Tabasco sauce are Grey Poupon.
Hey everybody! Welcome to another episode.
Success. We're gonna talk about that too.
Of hot boxing. I'm Eben Britton.
I'm Mike Tyson.
Mike, we got a great guest.
We got an awesome guest.
We got the man, D-Ray Davis, in here.
What's happening?
Yeah, D-Ray.
I'm the little guy in the room for a change.
How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. I'm comfortable, man.
I haven't seen you in the fucking hip hop squares and shit.
Yeah, thanks, man. I appreciate it. I actually watched your HBO special, and I was like, this is ingenious. Yours. My two favorites are yours and John. I don't want to mess up his last name. I want to fuck it up. Leguizano.
Yeah, he had awesome.
His was. I like just the way it was, like how it's, you know, you bring your own light to it, your own conversation, and with no interruptions, and just the way it was. So
he's really talented, brother.
Yeah, hopefully I drop some shit like that.
It's awesome.
You could.
So, am I right? Are you 50 years old?
I'm the hell not.
No way.
I'm
not, man. But I don't know who changed my age. I think it's an ex-girlfriend pissed
somebody
at me.
Somebody did.
But it,
somebody
know,
did. I was like, this is what I tell good. People.
Pay attention to everything going on with your shit, like your media.
Your Wikipedia. Because
I don't pay attention to that stuff. And then I don't know where I was. I was 51.
So you saw that, too. I didn't make that up.
Now, people was wishing me fucking happy birthday on August 5th, 1968. I was like, my birthday is February 26th, but my grandfather's birthday is August 5th. So I thought maybe we ain't got the same name or nothing. I don't know how I got. No,
God,
brother.
That's
I got,
weird.
I got about a decade before I get to that. But
good.
Still,
okay. I mean, it's you look
decade
great.
Decade is 10 years, right? I said, right, okay.
Yeah,
I didn't do good in math. 5 years of high school. I ain't really. Yeah.
That's what it is. Hip Hop Squares, Hollywood Squares. What is that thing? What's the name?
Hip Hop Squares, man. Ice Cube just jumped on board and flipped it to. They tried to come out with it a long time ago on MTV2. They tried to do Hip Hop Squares, and I was one of the squares on that end, but they didn't have the budget to match what the idea was. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you got a great idea. And the budget don't, you know what I mean? It's like the dope boy on the corner.
You got to come out of your own pocket.
Yeah, the dope boy on the corner. He's like, man, I wish I want to go get all the keys and all, but the time ain't right. So that's what it was. They had a product, but didn't have the right resources. But then when Cube came along, VH1 was ready for it. So it's like the old Hollywood Squares back when Robin Williams was host, Whoopi Goldberg was on there. Just a lot of celebs and people who think they celebs. You know, it's a lot of that going on right now. But
there's
it's
a
cool,
lot of
man.
Celebs, a lot of influencers, a lot of people doing God knows what.
But it's popping, man. It went off. I was happy to be hosting. I was glad that I know how to read shit.
It's a great gig.
Because I didn't know I knew how to read that good. And there they were. I got in front of that teleprompter. I was like, oh, this is nice. I can thank a teacher sometime.
That's amazing.
You got to get on there, man.
Mike should definitely be
but
on
But I'm
that.
Sure we would have to shoot it over here on the ranch.
At the ranch.
Where are we, Mike?
As long as Mike can have some weed.
What are we at? We're at
El Segundo. Well, boy, Q-Tip left his wallet.
Yes, a long time.
That's right.
It was far,
going
man.
Going back to El Segundo, right?
I kind of know. I kind of got a feeling why y'all way out here.
Tell me.
Because the airport right there. And in case you got a lot of white people here, they want to be close to the airport in case something jump off. I see all them private planes over there.
Absolutely.
You just get the hell out of here. Got it.
It's great for business. Everybody's right here.
They get out of here.
Right here.
Yeah. Easy in, easy out.
I ain't gonna lie. Let me get this out of the way. I'm excited, man. Many times I've met you and seen you or whatever. I'm a fan. I don't know how to put it in the proper words without sounding like a lame nigga. But I had 5 Mike Tyson t-shirts and I chose the Wu-Tang because I was like, I'm gonna look super lame if I wear. That's like wearing being next to somebody in the club and you got their jersey on, like a basketball player, football player. But I'm a real fan, man. I like the way you just marketed everything, and it's real hard branding, down to the cartoon, everything. I'm not making up shit. I watch this shit. I don't have to.
Thank
I don't
you,
lie
brother.
To nobody. I don't it's make awesome. Up shit. I'm like, yo, this shit is epic. It's what you want to do. You want to control all bits and pieces of your brand. So
I just realized in life that my thoughts and my reality, you know? And whatever I thought in my mind that I wanted to do, I pretty much accomplished it.
Well, see it. Hmm. Looking at it. All right, sorry.
On that note, though, Exhibit came in here. He was wearing a Mike Tyson T-shirt.
Did he?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's different as Exhibit, X to the Z.
X to the Z, dog.
Another funny thing about Exhibit's story, I was, this is back
when. Did you have him on Squares?
No, Exhibit. When he feel like it. You know, he had a little ranch, too. He disappeared.
Yeah.
Exhibit will disappear. He'd go buy 3 Rolls Royces and disappear, drive them separate.
I think he rolled in a Lambo or something like that.
Yeah, he's rolling pretty hard.
Yeah, he's been since Jumpstart. I was in a club, and I remember I just got from Chicago. I had to be like 20 years old, and I was in a club out here. And Exhibit songs, that's when the album came out, 40 Days, 40 Nights. And he had that record, like, and I was a deep hip hop. I love like real hip hop. And he's out here, but his vibe was like straight New York mixed with the blend. Yeah. Like, he was like, it's about players, pimps, ballers, busters, slipping these studs. And I was like, I saw the video. He's walking to get fucking milk or something, and everything's exploding behind him. And I was like, this is crazy. So I walked past him at the club, and I tapped my child's mother. I said, yo, motherfucker, that's Exhibit. And she said, who? I said, the dude I showed you the rap video. That's the motherfucker. He first rapper I seen like that. I was like, yo, that's the Exhibit, nigga, the nigga. And she like, oh, you should say something. I was like, nah, I ain't no lame nigga like that. So I walked to the bar and stood next to him for a minute. I was like, oh, I tried to play it off. I was like, yeah, you, Exhibit, yeah. Like, they played it. And I said, I'm going to come to my comedy show on Monday. And he was like, yeah, don't talk about my voice, though. Everybody's cracking my voice. Yeah. But we ended up becoming good friends, man. And through the years, like,
Dope.
Yeah, like we used to go by the house. He the first, I've never been to a crab boil, although I'm allergic to shellfish. I still looked at it. I looked at the broil, whatever.
Looked good.
He taught me how to boil. Well, at the time, the situations around him, I learned how to boil artichoke. I'd never done that, and I still do that to this day. This is many years later. I went to the studio. I did on his mixtape. I did like a hook for it, like, bro, because I would write hooks all the time when I worked with different people. That's dope. With Eric Sermon and all that. So he took like 3 or 4 of my hooks, and I was able to, you know, get my writer credit up for. It was dope, though.
Hell,
man.
Yeah, dude. Have you done a lot of music writing?
Yeah, a whole lot. Mostly for me, but I've always been involved in music since the beginning. Like,
where did you start it from? Where you come from?
Come from Chicago, man. Yeah.
How did you get from Chicago to the sunny city?
Shit, I was my uncle was a bartender at a comedy club, and he the uncle that taught me how to. I was dabbling back in the day with cannabis back in the day, dabbling a little bit, and I was getting to the point where it was real comfortable for me. When I would go see him at a comedy club, and he was the bigger guy with the production of that, and I seen a comedian on stage. I'd never seen comedy before in my life, never, not one time. And I saw a comic on stage, and I was like, yo, this that shit we be doing, just roasting each other. I could do this. And my uncle like, man, if you don't get your ass back here, like, you ain't supposed to be in the club, right? He's like, come back here. And then I talked to the host. His name was Damon Williams. And I said, how you get on stage? He said, well, we got Sunday nights. We got open mic night. Mm. That's how I want to go up. He's like, when? I was like, next Sunday. Oh, no, I said, it was that night. I said, he said, tonight? He said, nah, they ain't had work, bro. You ain't never been on stage. I was like, I want to go up. So I was working at a place called, Ameritech. I don't know if you remember that. I was a 411 operator. Like, David sitting in state, like, answering the phone. And one of Damon Williams' cousin's wives, as ghetto as that might sound, worked there. And I said, yo, you know Damon Williams? I said, I asked him if I was going on stage. And he was like, no, I got to get the no comment. Basically, they made the call. So I went up that next week. And I had a notebook of jokes and shit. And I tried to do them jokes. And people was like, oh, what the fuck? What man, get out of there. Like, and it was two people really heckling me. And it was Men at Large. You remember that group?
The two niggas.
Yes.
The two big.
I live in Cleveland. I know him from Cleveland.
Yeah, the I'm so alone.
Gerald LaVert, you
threw it. Alone? Did he?
Yeah.
I didn't know that, but it was the nigga that won, the one that won on Apollo, him, and he was a new one, and he was with the other guy, but it was him and David or whatever. Can't think of his name. Geronimo, Jamie, I can't think of their names because I haven't talked to them in a while.
I've been named Men at Large, dude. From Cleveland. I'm in
Large. Yeah, so Men at Large, and I started roasting the hell out of them. And they said, you need to be funny. And I said, y'all wish these, like, go back to your book of jokes. And I was like, y'all wish this was a menu, nigga. And, and I did 13 minutes my first time on stage. And I got and everybody was looking like, shit, he might have it. So within.
How old were you?
19.
Wow.
So within 6 months, I got in the Miller Comedy Circuit. So within 6 months, I took second place in that shit. I kind of had a little, you know, little Mike Tyson spark, man. I ain't gonna lie to you. if a comedy not compared to the boxing and the back, my mom was, you know, the background, everything, but getting into it, I was right off the bat like that, like I was just hitting every state and hitting and winning. Like,
how were you doing? How much courage did you?
Yeah, so much.
But they told
so
me
so much courage.
They were always telling about all the people that, because I was still, you know, like, I would go on stage and rap and shit back then, like a bullshit dude. And since I was little, I was doing like trying to jump on karaoke mics and the family reunion. I try to rap something. Or do something, throw shows in the basement.
Yeah.
I used to pin up the fucking curtain and do commercials for my mama and shit, just to, you know,
just to
practice, do something. I don't know, just to do something. Plus, you know, and it was a lot of us too. So, like, kid wise, we had to always out entertaining, motherfucker.
A lot of brothers and sisters.
Yeah, man. My dad got down.
Okay.
My dad got down. All the kids had to be around each other, regardless if it was different moms or not. That's just how Tony was.
That had to be.
You had to be around, motherfucker. Got to be
Tony Davis.
You fighting like
Tony Folks.
Tony Folks.
Earl Anthony Folks.
Fighting like a motherfucker with your brother.
Yeah, hell yeah.
You don't even know it's fighting with you.
To out entertain people, and then it just took off, man. 6 months and a year later, I had a deal and all that. It was fast.
Wow,
it was fast. Before I was like, no, I'm just gonna act, and that's when you hit the wall. I'd be like, nigga, you better do something different than just act. I had to, you know, touring is important with comics. If any young comic watching, stay working on your craft and stay working doing it. Because that's how, like Kevin Hart, you know, he was out doing the work.
Yeah.
We was roommates and he was out doing the work. He was like, I'm doing these comedy clubs. And I always believed.
That's so easy to get discouraged then, huh? Doing this shit.
Well, mine was, I always wanted to own the stuff. Like, I watched the dude at the door taking the money. And I watched what he paid the comedians, and I was like, I want to own shit. So within that same year, the year after that, I actually bought a comedy club. It was a comedy club that was going, so I bought into the comedy club.
At 20 years old?
Riddles. At 20, I was going on 21 then, but I had got my deal too. So I took my little Disney money, flipped into that, and I was booking comedians, and I was booking tours. I booked everybody from the Moniques to the, not Cedric. Cedric, I had him come through, but I paid more comics than niggas have ever paid me. I've always wanted to be on that side of the business. Mm. Like, and even Lil, like my publicist is here, but her other client, Lil Rel, who's blowing up everywhere, he took over the comedy club for me. Like, he would host while I was going to L.A. doing things. He was building and getting stronger. But my whole thing was, I do the tour. I pay everybody myself.
You ever meet Robin Harris?
I did not. I think Robin was gone by the time I got back. But I heard he was
beautiful.
A lot of people said the length of time I spent on stage when I'm just riffing, he had that. Like, he just would just talk. The closest thing to it was the Bernie, man. That's the closest.
Man,
both of those guys, man.
He was beautiful, Robin Harris. Oh, I love him so much.
I always tell people, if they had the opportunities that the comics have now, people would be in trouble, man. Like, imagine Robin Harris with a Netflix special. Or Bernie, who Bernie never got to drop that soul special.
Bernie would lit it up. Man.
Robin Harris is just, it's so weird. If anybody came to see Robin Harris, they wouldn't. All the celebrities would sit in the back. Nobody would be in the front.
Because they'd get rip them.
You can't feel it on watching him until you have to be there. You got to see him on television. His beauty, his excellence don't come out on television. Whoa, he was a master. Everybody was
sitting in the back. Everybody take their outfits.
Everybody was petrified. All the girls are afraid to go to the bathroom. Just terrified.
You'll say something.
Yes, terrified.
Yeah, I love it.
Just terrified.
Well, that's so interesting, man. You just hit it. It was like a switch went on for you.
Yeah, I'll say that.
What were you doing as a kid? I mean, because obviously you didn't start writing that week.
Well,
you've been writing.
I would. I guess a fast study with things like that, man. When it comes to hustling,
in a gang?
Yes.
Yeah, you're a street kid.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, I was in a gang.
So were you always a guy who was sort
smart
of
guy in a gang? No, I was a guy that I'd be like even when I was serving, I'd always say it was somebody above me who people would like, so nobody would come like try to rob me. I would always say, yo. It's my uncle shit. Or I was dropping names of people I didn't even talk to. I'm like, yo, this big Herb shit. And they be like, yo, for real?
Chicago reminds me a little bit of L.A. Because, you know, it's very few guys you can see as walk. I mean, like one guy, you know, that you can see walking up the street and you can say, hey, I need a crew. And he can, oh, really? I'll be back in 1 minute. And he can come bring 100 guys. And that shit's so simple. It's just so many gangs.
Yeah, man. But it was the weird part. It was more simplistic because I felt I always, even in the gang, like, I'm going to tell you one thing I never did. Gang and I've never jumped nobody in my entire life. When I heard it was coming up or a situation like that, I didn't even take part in it. I never. I love the one-on-ones. I love the, but I also fucking did different shit. I also went to the rec center when I was still in the game. My mom was like, knowing I was in the game, but you couldn't. You better go to the fucking rec center. I still did dancing. I still did the ballet shit. I still did grappling all the time. You know what I mean? But so I always thought that side of it. I was more on the organizational side. Like, I want, if we're going to squab, we're going to squab. Y'all squab. But I don't like I never, all the senseless stuff I seen around me, the shootings, the everything, couldn't do it. I ain't going to lie. I didn't fake some shootouts. I never even fired. I'm telling everybody now. Everybody thought I was shooting out.
My childhood friends I met, we met by fighting each other.
Yep. My best friend Larry met at the park, 10 years old.
We all best friends.
Because you know what kind of worries you got around you.
Yeah.
You don't know that until it happened, because other than that, you got dudes around you just around. You know, you never know until something come up. But if you've been into it, this person, or seen that, or met that person, even people I didn't fight, but somebody was fighting for me, I've had friends like that. Like, where I'm trying to go somewhere, and they like, you know what this is? And you can just feel that energy for you. Like, when I had no movies out, he like, this dude going to be big. And you feel like, whoa, like, this dude, he can feel your energy like
that. You know, it's so crazy, like, off the subject for just a second. You know, like, most people, most black people, too, minorities, some Puerto Ricans and all that stuff, you know, we didn't, even though we had jobs, we didn't have much money, physical money in the 60s. Very few black people had a bank account in, like, say, the 50s and stuff.
Wow. We're just kind of scared of the bank accounts, though. Mm. I remember being raised how my grandfather was, a lot of money, a lot of mattress money. Mm. You know what I mean?
Holiday died with 70 cents in her bank account, but like $300 on her personal or something like that. What? You know what I mean? Yeah, they you were right. They kept
how money much?
They kept money on their personal more than the bank.
Right, yeah.
70 cents in the bank, but like $300, I think, was on a personal, something like that. More money on a personal than was in the bank. Jeez.
Yeah, you got. I know.
There's
a lot of
distrust.
Yeah, how did black people even get bank accounts back then?
Through white people.
Yeah.
or the white people say, I'm your bank. Let me teach you how to bank. No, I'm saying they probably did start it like that. Let me teach you how to bank. They give me the money. Let me show you how the bank work. Give me $2. Now, in a month, I'm going to give you $2.02.
So I was looking at this. No, listen, Evan, I'm sorry, check out, right?
It's okay, B.
So I'm watching this thing, and it goes like this. It goes Cornelius Vanderbilt and Maya Rothschild, both very wealthy, died wealthy. So Vanderbilt left his money to his children. And so right now, there's no more millionaire. They fucked all the money up. Mm. The Rothschild guy left his money to a banking service, and where it allowed the kids to have a certain amount of money and take a certain amount of money out. And if they don't pay it back in, then they're off the fucking list. They can't take money back no more.
Is that Chase?
No, this is Rothschild.
Oh, Chase is Rockefeller's.
Yes, Sears and Chase is Rockefeller's.
Yeah.
So I was saying,
some big bank talk. I don't know none of this shit they saying right now. I'm sitting there like, I go to Chase in Bank of America. I don't know who owned what, though.
Well, what I'm saying, Vanderbilt pretty much gave his money to his children. He gave his money to a banking system, handed money out. You know what
so
I mean?
So interesting.
And the kids didn't live up to that system. They were off the system. They can't get involved with
so they still have money, though.
Huh?
They still got bread. Then. They still got money.
The Rothschilds.
I don't think so. I think they cut them really up. Boom. Because they have nothing else to bring to the. Because they have to bring something to the system. They're not bringing something to the system. They're bringing back the money to the system. They don't pay it back. Then they're taking from the system. And not just one person is bigger than the whole fucking system. Somebody has to be lost in the family.
Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wish I could set up a system like that with my daughter, but now
I understand that system, though. It's just working off of no feeling. This is objective. It's very successful. It will work.
Yeah.
If it's objective.
Yeah.
No, that makes sense.
So I gave it to my kids. I have my feelings. Oh, no, I better give it to my kids. I love them so much. I want them to be happy like I was happy. And, you know, I really pampered them all day. Like, they don't know how to fight and be competitive for this money, so they lose it all. Pretty much.
You don't have a thought process like that. I had a conversation with my daughter all the time. I'm like, I just paid off her whole tuition for the first semester. This patient went down to Grambling just last week. I just paid it off, and I got a text, thanks for paying my tuition. I'm like, nigga.
Oh, listen, I don't want to talk to you about gratitude.
All right, okay.
Listen, some kids.
All right. But I'm saying, Mr. Tyson, I'm saying, in that same light of what you're saying, though, when you're saying you want to give them something, when you don't have, you're like, I didn't have, and you know how it felt, kind of. And you some feelings you don't want them to have, like down to your daughter being heartbroken. So, or but we play both sides. Like on one note, I blew. I go take 20, 30 grand. I didn't put that on 12 before at the casino. You know what I'm saying? And then I have an auntie that need a car, and I'm like, but in my mind, I just did what was right with my money because I took the gamble because I'm the person that. Got it. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So maybe I need, if I set that system up for myself, if I don't bring something to the table, I take it from me. I don't know. Maybe I ain't making no sense. Maybe
No, that's accountability. That's self-accountability. Right,
maybe there. I'm taking in some of what y'all spoke.
But you got to learn these things. Yeah, you don't just like, fucking know it.
I mean, like,
do you know gratitude?
Do I know gratitude?
Now you do, but what do you just know it innately? It's not intuitive.
No. Like sometimes I may see somebody that I love or care about. Someone's opening the door for them. They just walk through the door, and I have to, hey, nigga, say thank you.
Yeah, I know. Yes. I hate that. I hate that shit. But you got to
like. I'm deep on that. I'm happy on that, too.
I shouldn't have said nigga out in public in front of all these white people like that. But the fact is, it's just very important to me for my mother and my father. It's very important. Yes, ma'am. No, sir. Yeah. It was very important. We were very poor, but that was very important.
All day.
Agreed.
All day. Bump it.
1,000%.
I said, if you want to understand.
You can get smacked and beat over that stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
I said, if you want to understand, want to see how I feel of it's a world of non-gratitude, go to the club and don't have a drink at all and just stand there. And see how many people bump into you. And count how many people say, excuse me, drunk or not. Because it's a reflex.
Probably.
Because me, drunk or not, I'm always, excuse me.
Absolutely.
I say, excuse me, when I'm alone. If I fart by myself in the house, I say, excuse me, in case God listening. That's just how I am. I'm like, excuse me, like, pardon me or anything. You know, it just... And that translates to the other stuff you're talking about. But I
never understood that either, but I did it because I would get my ass beat. So I just always did it. But always people like me for being that way. Even people who were considered not nice people just like me for being that. They were able to be that way. You know, and I realized in life how it really took me a long way in life. And then I realized the reason why my mother and father was like that because the system that they lived in humbled them. Mm. And so I guess in return they had to humble me innately.
But that's
to prevent me from what she experienced or what my father experienced.
That's still dope though, because then when you're a polite person like that, or to the point where we know we're being polite, then when you step outside of that, you know that you're in the right. You know when you're in the right. Like you said, hey, excuse me. Look, brother, I tried to tell you, excuse me, 4 times.
Exactly.
Now you know that.
So whatever I'm about to do to you, you had it coming.
You know, I don't know if you know the comedian Scrancho. Do you know Scrancho?
I know Crazy. He's a wild crazy.
Yo, this nigga told me one time, he said, I used to feel bad about beating people up. He said, D-Ray, because he's old, he's like, I'm old. He said, when I hit people now, I feel like I'm helping God because I'm knocking a demon out of them.
Yeah.
He said, there's a demon.
It's a good way to look at it.
Because he's a real nice guy. He said, when he come do something, he said, there was a demon in him. But he also the guy who said, by the way, I don't want to. He also said this. That was ingenious. He don't even remember saying shit like this. He said, I love the Lord, but the devil has got some bitches. I was like, wow. So I balanced and trying to listen to him, but still hearing that at the same time. But he said he knocked the demon out of people, man. The
Lord got bitches, too.
Yeah.
He got in there. He brought him here. We define him as that. He don't call him that, but that's what we define him. But he got him here for us.
Okay, God got something, too. It's just at church sometimes it's hard to talk him right out of the church to go straight to the crib, you know. No, I'm sorry.
Oh, my God.
God invented that word. It's in our mind. We can never stop. Even when we say it in closed doors, he knows we say it. He's all seeing. He's all hearing. He knows everything about us. Mm-hmm. When we jerk off, whatever we do in private that we don't want nobody to know, he sees us.
He sees it. He knows.
he said he sees us.
He knows. Hey, man, when you get up to heaven, God's looking. Hey, brother.
Wipe your hands.
Beat it a lot.
Wipe your hands on that cloud over there, that cloud.
Yeah. What was it?
That should be part of heaven, though. You can't do if you can't do that in heaven.
You do whatever. I mean, I just think it's all there. It's all there.
I'm not being blasphemous. I'm saying I just think, like you said, God knows, God grows. I think back in the day, the things he was mad about, I don't think he get as mad now.
But listen, if we really believe in God, man put so much guilt in us, and we have guilt in our conscience. Oh, I shouldn't have did that 5 years ago. Oh, my God. God's going to get back. And with God, there's no good or bad. There's no time, no space. Uh-huh. There's no judgment. Your love. How can I expect something that I just created out of dust to be able to fucking resist temptation? It's his way. He's testing you. This is all a test. And we're all going to fail, but we're going to learn from all our failures and become better human beings, the creatures, the aliens, whatever the fuck we are.
I like aliens. I'll be that.
Probably.
Yeah. To somebody.
Yeah.
To people definitely. In another
dimension.
Yeah, in the dimension. We're aliens, so that's fair.
Yep.
We're all one. Aliens, dirt, bugs, ants, creatures.
Trees.
Everything.
Stars.
Rocks. We're all one. We're all everything.
It's all one thing. Before we go much deeper, what was it, do you think, about the way you thought about what you wanted to do with your life that gave you that idea of, I want to control and own the shit that I'm doing? And because, I mean, not many young kids, you're just trying to, like, figure it out at that point.
Yeah, I was just into my ego. I didn't want to own shit. And I just wanted to be it for that moment. So made you want to possess that
putting
shit?
Putting it into my head, you know, you just get a deal. You're fucking on fire on the comedy touring. You know, you're fucking.
I can't even explain because sometimes.
That seems like a lot of trouble if you're doing all that shit.
No, I can't lie.
That seems like a lot of trouble.
Yeah, if you're doing all this
touring and stage.
I want to, and it feels like it until I'm moving and I'm getting it. I want it to be before I even knew what an Al Heyman was. Before I even knew what I always seen the other money. You know what I'm saying? When I was playing Monopoly, I wanted to be the banker. Mm. I was like, what's the rules? Like, who made these rules up? I would turn cereal boxes when I was little. My mom would buy the bullshit cereal box. I would turn everything in my room into a bank, even if I couldn't put nothing in it.
Huh. I'm like, this is going to be a good bank. Come on.
Yeah, I do. When I got here, they said I had a lot. Like, my agents, like I say, I want every, you know Chris Smith, man.
Psycho.
Chris made Chris give me every bit of every dime before I put, and I put out, and ask Chris about my expenses, man. I paid, like, a comedy club will tell me to this day that they spend $5,000 on promotions. I don't give a fuck about that. I still take another $5,000 of my dollars because I want my promotion to sound like what I want it to say. I don't know what you're saying about me and yours. I could hear it and get approval, but you still can't make it sound the way I want. You can't sell me better than I can sell me. There's nobody could do that. So I wanted to be in charge of everything I do.
A lot of promotion. You're behind these mics a lot. You do a lot of promotion going to radio shows.
Yeah, and tell comics how to promote themselves too. I'm not secretive with it. So I try to.
Dude, you got to have your own podcast.
Yeah, what the fuck are you doing?
I know, man.
That's it.
I love the setup, but time is a lot of things, and I don't even know what the hell.
In the age of modern technology, you're fucking in the Stone Ages. You got to come back.
All right.
We don't listen. I said radio station. We don't even go to radio stations no more. You go. Yeah. Fucking shit, and more people know what you're doing than a radio station.
You're right. I'm taking that advice, man. I'm not gonna not take it from two big motherfuckers. I'm not gonna not do it and get in trouble next time.
Because I don't know anything. I know this shit. You have to have this shit.
But once you
have likes and fucking all these numbers of people who like you and then your fucking numbers and shit, you gotta have all this shit.
And all that
you
shit.
Ain't shit if you don't got subscribers or whatever.
No, you're right.
Like
I was watching a show the other day.
It's like not having a fucking passport.
It was saying that the news was going to be like that soon. Like how the news is coming down, it's going to start being via the phone.
Yeah.
If you think about it, because Kim Kardashian got all them followers. Imagine she started her own news channel when she does it. People going to go to her for the news rather than go to CNN because CNN ain't got as many followers as she do. So she can come and say whatever she wants.
Yeah.
Exactly.
All the news I get now is through either Instagram or Twitter.
Yeah, Twitter.
Fucking weird.
Everything.
I don't watch the news on
what's
TV.
Trending, what happened first, because you know it's real, because a lot of people are right there.
Yeah.
Eyewitnesses now recorded and send it up right at that moment.
It's a new fucking era, man.
I hear you, man. I'm on it. But got to remember, I'm still old school, like with the... I still pass out flyers for my shows.
Dope, man.
I do. I still put a certain amount of money in now. I still, look, if there's a local newspaper, we do interviews every now and then because it might be some old motherfucker like, shit, you know what? I'm going to go check out this Del Ray Davis. just never know.
Hell yeah, man.
What would you think be the grandest way to promote yourself?
End all, be all. holograms coming out the phone.
Yeah. Ooh, that'd be dope. That's
hologram coming out the phone is it's crazy. Like, you click on something, it just come out and shit. Like,
no, just
come to my show.
Your phone, and then it's one of your fucking promotions just come out. Boom.
Yeah, all that.
Yeah. Right? Yeah,
that's gonna be crazy. I'm sure it's coming.
It's coming.
It's already.
It's probably already here. Yeah. It's already here.
I was on a hologram not so long ago. My friend did the hologram with me. I was chilling out in the chair.
Oh, really?
Did they do a hologram of you, Mike?
No, I was in the hologram.
You were in it.
Yeah.
You could see it.
Yeah. I could sit down and touch people. I couldn't touch them, but it seems like I can touch.
That's dope as hell. Like that's hey, if you want to get to the bread, like. To do one show one night the same way they do streaming, like they did. Wait, like the what they just do with the Miley Cyrus on Black Mirror, where they had her like she was a gigantic hologram, and they like to have that going on where you performing your show and it's actually something people go to pay to see.
A worldwide show.
Crazy.
Well, you mentioned Kevin Hart earlier, and he fucking busted his ass at every show, wasn't it that? At every show, he had like an email list sign up.
Yeah, and but we learned a lot from Jamie Foxx. Like Jamie Foxx did that as well. Yeah, so I would and I was doing it, but mine was for promotions, like for not promoting me. I was trying to make all the friends.
Jamie Smart was smart and shit.
Yeah, hustled his ass off.
Jamie, probably just if you're looking up to people, like I have my list. Jamie's top 10. As far as like hustling and getting stuff done.
Jamie's the man.
Yeah, Jamie. Sam Jackson number one.
Oh, I love that.
Number one. And I've only met him once. And it was quick in passing, but just his work ethics.
Yeah.
You know, dropping so many mixtapes. That's what he did. You see him in all the old movies or whatever. You see him go from balding in one movie to a full afro.
That's getting people to know you putting out all those tapes.
Yeah.
Familiar with you, right?
That's why I do all the movies.
That's pretty much the 90s and stuff, right? They're doing this stuff. And, like, check out what Eddie Murphy had to do or Richard Pryor. You know what they had to do?
Hmm.
You see an audience, right?
Yeah.
It's brand new audience. They never heard of him or nothing. And they go like this, go on stage.
Yeah.
Imagine that. They ain't never heard you or nothing yet. And then you have to make these people laugh. And they did.
That was talent, man. Yeah. Because you made, and that's the people at home, they're making their family laugh. They'd be like, you funny enough. That's when encouragement came from just the crib. They'd be like, go up there and knock it out. That's
crazy, right? Now I think the way people do it now, how crazy it is.
It's amazing. Now you got your Instagram followers, you go on stage, you got a certain follower. Like,
if
a comedian's on stage, you heard of him or saw him before. Hmm. And now back then, if.
Well, when you first go up, a lot of me, you still, it's still a test, but I did feel a couple places you feel it, and you know things have changed. You're like, damn. Because sometimes you want that feeling back to know if you're really being funny. You know what I mean? Because. I've stepped on stage recently and people cheering and clapping because they've seen you do stuff. And you're like, damn, it's kind of cheating a little bit. You know what I mean? It's cheating a little bit because I want to say some shit and know if it's really funny rather than just because I'm me say it. And a lot of comments get lost in that. I don't want to say I'm better than niggas or what niggas do. I'm saying that. No, but really, I invite them comics out of my show all the time on Monday. Like, come do some new shit. But they fear. They get.
Yeah.
They think they just go on stage.
How about Dave Chappelle?
Oh, he's great too, huh?
Dave would go up anywhere. He's one of the few people I couldn't even challenge. Dave goes to my show all the time. He does. Cause I do the improv on Mondays. Dave will come down and just go up and do 2 hours. I don't stay for all his shows all the time because sometimes he's up there forever.
Yeah, he's really great.
And he up there tearing me apart. D-Ray want me to go to the disco.
I always have respect and thought Eddie Murphy was the greatest. And I saw this documentary on Richard Pryor. He went on stage to do a show. He bombed. He fucking bummed. He couldn't even make himself. Everybody was just, what the fuck's going on? He went home, came back the next night. They let him go on stage again, and he fucking killed the show. He wrecked them. They never laughed. They were taking them out into the hospital. Listen, man, if I did that today, they wouldn't even let me come back. They'd arrest me if I tried to come back the next day and perform. He came back the next day and ripped him apart. Did you ever see that documentary?
No, I said
that. Oh, he's a monster. Nobody's in his league. After that, you'd be so depressed. You wouldn't want to go near a stage. He's a vicious.
It's what he's saying. You can't.
He's not normal. He's not a normal human.
Yeah.
Being.
No. There's no comparison to the pain that he dropped on stage. Because nowadays,
now you
got
to go back the next day. Not even 24 hours to face that pain again. No, there's nobody on this stage. Nobody on this planet could ever match him.
Mm.
His nerve. Oh, get the fuck out of here. You can't, this nigga. When I lose a fight, I be so fucking mad. I'm almost paralyzed psychologically for a week.
But Mike, let me tell you, there's some comics, man, who go up every night and bomb. They still want to go on stage. They think this is the night or this is the crowd.
Hey, listen, exactly. They don't even want you to go near that stage, right?
But then, no, they let them go up. I'm just putting this out there. Since that moment, them 13 minutes, I've had half a bad show. I've never had a bad show. I've always been able to find, because I was raised by my granddad, who's a talker in the room. So I was always able to find somebody or something that I'm going to relate to that's going to protrude energy out. Mm. The worst two shows I had was both music shows. One time I only had 10 minutes of material, and Method Man and Redman had me open up. They was doing the Blackout tour, and I was out of material, and them niggas was 45 minutes late, and the crowd was looking at me like, what's next? And I was all out of the, what are ladies? What are women? How everybody doing? Fuck. I was this close to breakdancing. I ain't gonna lie to y'all.
Fuck.
And them niggas finally showed up, and I was like, whew. And even then, just like, yo, what you drinking over there? Like, still, I wouldn't let the crowd, but I also wasn't being challenged to tell my story like Richard was, saying how his mother was in a prostitute, and them kind of stories you transition over. But he did give me the confidence to say, because my mother was on drugs for a long time. Mm-hmm. My mom was on crack and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. It did give me the confidence to go on stage and not be afraid to tell them kind of stories. Or my wife at the time, me getting divorced at 18, 19 years old, me on stage hurt, and a nigga in the audience yelled out, that's why your wife in Cancun with my nigga.
Oh, fuck.
And we wasn't even divorced yet. And I stopped. And it was like, the longest 10 seconds ever.
Come back at it.
And I was like, man, I said, nigga, she didn't win a lot of places for cheaper than that. Like, some forgot what it was, but I can't lie, like that wasn't a kid. I can't act like that wasn't a kidney shot though. And I remember comics in the back was like, ooh, even the comedian, everybody felt it. It was like we were one person. Everybody, god damn, like, why would he say that shit? And that, and moments like that you're not afraid to drop on stage. But the worst shows I had, like that show, and I did a tour with Kanye.
And oh my god!
I went up there in between. I guess for some reason Rihanna couldn't do the tour no more. I never asked why. I just jumped on the tour, and I was going up between while they was changing the sets in the back at Madison Square Garden,
22,000.
And I'm up there in the middle while they're changing between the two people going, "What's up, New York?" in a Bulls jersey. Yeah, man. So times like that, but I've never experienced just straight up boo. I just won't. And maybe because.
Brutal.
Maybe because it's like like I said, one man, the gift of gab is an important thing. Two, people like Richard and Jamie and all of them laid so much foundation for comedy that people have a different respect for it after they seen all that happen. So we wouldn't experience unless you, like, even Def Jam not the same no more. You would never go through that audience where people just like
boo,
just straight up.
Fuck you,
Showtime to Apollo. Now it's bullying. Like, if they put you on stage and you get booed, like, they don't boo at the Apollo no more. And they might for a second, but they wouldn't air it because you might sue. Because it's just the shit you don't go through no
what?
More.
What
I think is good. Everybody needs to taste adversity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
failure is fuel. Mm-hmm. It's fuel for success.
Yeah,
I think I was so scared of the bullshit that's why I went so hard every time. I think I was like, fuck this, because that shit get out quick.
Yeah.
You step off stage, the whole world knows what just happened. Yeah. Now, like you said, everything, D-Ray just bombed. D-Ray just fucked that. Yeah.
What do you think about, do you feel like comedy is a lot different than it was when you came into it?
Hell yeah.
And
it's words you can't say now. It's things. Luckily, I was messing with this girl that was on this kind of shit before this shit was happening.
Huh.
So we beat places. And I'd
she'd
like,
call you out on
and
stuff?
I'd be like, look at that, whatever, how you talk. And she'd be like, don't say that because that's offensive. And I'd be like, and she's a real estate lawyer. And she'd be like, I can't say this kind of stuff. Meetings. This is 12, 13 years ago. And she'd just say that. I'm like, really? Like that word offend? But they say, no. Yeah. So I was luckily prepared, because if I talk the way I talk then now, even I look at some old
say, you can say nigga
all day. No. They can't take nigga from nigga. Oh, they can't think about it. They can't imagine taking nigga from nigga. How mad niggas would be saying we can't say it'll be a movement.
Woo.
Yeah. It'll be a whole nother movement.
You can't have a conversation with a nigga
can't say nigga.
They
got too many meanings.
Oh,
like, hey,
my God.
Too many fucking meanings.
Hey, oh, my. Hey.
Like, can you imagine that you explain every meaning? It must be 100 meanings, 200 meanings.
Yeah, nah, nah. Okay. Words like that you can't get. But trust me, if somebody were to say that they are the main nigga right now, which they could say, they come out and say, I'm offended by the word. Let's not say it. If somebody say I'm offended and they want to start suing people, niggas, they gonna sue niggas out of nigga, and it's fucked up. Mm. You can't push nobody. You can't punch nobody that push you. This shit is crazy. And I try to tell motherfuckers all the time, but like, yo, you about to make me offend you. Because I've done sets where I know I can't be president. Mm. I ain't gonna be president.
Well,
I ain't gonna be president.
Now we think you probably could stop.
Nah, man.
Because anybody can clearly be president.
I'm black. Can't talk the way we talk and be president.
Do you think it's harder? Really, who think? It's tougher for a nigga to say nigga than a white person saying nigga, to stop saying nigga. How do you get them to stop saying? How do you get a black person really? You know, really,
you don't.
How does that really happen? To be honest, sincerely, how does that happen?
I'm telling you, I think I didn't get an Emmy.
Reverend Eva, yeah. When it comes, yes, brother, and then when it really happened, yeah. This nigga,
yeah,
it comes out. This nigga here did this.
You heard Jesse Jackson did. Jesse really? Was like, nigga, yeah, when he was like, they got the nigga by the balls. He's talking about Obama. He said they got the nigga by the balls. So I was like,
oh shit.
Everybody, no, you ain't gonna get that out of nobody. Man,
that word, people wrote books about that word. That word just stems up so much shit. That word, nigga.
Yes. Yeah, but like they say, man, even if they buried the word, like NAACP was talking about burying the word, even if they buried the word, what would be on the tombstone? What would be on the headstone?
Nigga died. Nigga died there.
Nigga, it'll still be right there, so there's no getting rid of the word. I'm comfortable with it, but I know I said it more times than anybody on any special ever on Netflix.
You heard it every day, Matt, how many times a day for 325 years or something like 250 years, something like that. You heard it every day for hundreds of times a day, millions of times a day. How does that stop? It's so brainwashed, it's so in fucking dirt in our mind, our soul, our fucking barometer.
But to take it and re-own it or take it, I just, man, I ain't gonna lie to you. I never thought about not saying it. Huh. I just try to stop myself from saying, like, on the news and shit. But I'd be like, you know, it is hard, though. Even if you're describing yourself, let's say you're saying it subtly. You're saying it like, it's harder on niggas. People get what you say. Then you say, it's harder on black people. You sound like you're crying. Huh. You say it's hard on niggas out here. They get it. Everybody get it. Even the white people trying not to listen to it get what you're saying because they can't say that. Cause if you say it's hard on black people, they're gonna be like, it's hard on everybody. Mm. But you say it's hard on niggas.
Right.
They can't even fight that. Mm. Police pull you over and you say it's cause I'm black. Get the fuck out of it. I pulled over four white people. I said, hey, just call him a nigga, huh? Let's not go there. Let's not do that. Come on, guy. Look, man, I'm just gonna give you a ticket. it's a different thing. So
is it something you'd rather
go
not ahead, say?
Go ahead, say it, man. No, I'm playing.
I'm not. I'm not.
Yeah. I was told the only thing the black man and the white man got in common, they both hate niggas.
That was told to you by a really angry dude.
Yeah.
No. I mean, no. Nigga actions, though. This is what he's talking about. Nigga actions.
He wasn't angry.
Yeah,
he wasn't.
That was just his mindset.
I see what you're saying.
That was the society he grew up in the 50s. That was the society he grew up in. Mm. You know, everybody was fighting that certain type of black guy. Everybody teamed up, black people and white people teamed up for that particular kind of black guy to keep him out of our circle, out of our society.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes you can make like on stage, you make fun of it, man. It's a fun word. It's a cool word. It's a serious word. It's a, like he said earlier, it's like so many descriptions of what it is, man. Like, YG got that song, Rich Nigga, wrote, nigga, and when it got ready to come on, I was hosting Poppy the other day. They got ready to come on. I said, Fred, the DJ, I said, before you play that, let me make this announcement. White people, I'm watching y'all mouths. I don't give a damn if it's a song or not. You know what the mute, and I was watching in front. He was like, written. How hard it is not to say nigga in a song? You know how hard it is for the niggas in Paris? Man, come on, man. Come on.
Yes.
Jay-Z do a concert. Jigga, that's my motherfucker. And the white people like,
nigga.
Make sure they try to look around first. They in the car singing it all the time, all day. So, you know, I mean. You're not gonna get rid of that. That word is probably Obama still say nigga. I don't care.
No doubt about it.
Oh, he definitely does. Definitely does.
I know he do. Obama got like nigga at home. He got a this nigga. Michelle.
Is it something you'd rather say less or no?
I would say because of my uncles and upbringing and how I've been around, because of them and just the people I was around, I would like to say it less for my generation. And I do say it less to the kids around me. Mm-hmm. Because I am an uncle, man. I always say, you know, I'm like, my sisters don't talk to their kids the way I talk to their kids. So if I call my nephew, I say, nigga, what you at school doing? He know my sincerity. Mm-hmm. Or it make them laugh a little bit when you're trying to say, nigga, let me see your report card. Like, you that uncle that make them feel like they're your friend because it's the one word that I'm not, you know, boy, let me see. Like, it's the thing that make you the cool uncle too, like with them. So I would say less, but in society, as far as my Netflix special and me saying it over 100 times, yes, I wish I'd have said it less. But I also wish I'd have had less tequila when I shot that too. But that damn show has something to do with the nigga count.
I don't know. I think it's one of the it's one of the words that enslaved me, I think. Or I'm enslaved by it, so to speak. It's just who I am. You know? Nigga.
Damn, but you know another. You know, but the you know, black people call everything nigga too. It'd be a roach in here. Look at that nigga. Like we just.
I can't imagine it not being in my vernacular.
Yeah,
you should take a week. You should do a week of filming with no. Try not to say it. Like just try not to say it and see how many times you got ready to say it and do a check.
No, I mean I say it for a while, but it's in my yeah. mind. When I don't say this, it's going on in my mind. Oh. I'm saying it in my mind.
You know what's funny is...
D-Ray?
I miss that nigga.
You definitely.
Somebody a long time ago. Yeah,
Mike calls me that sometimes.
Yeah.
And I love it. I'm like...
Now you feel like you really...
Mike and I are really connected.
Like Gary Owen said, Gary Owen has a black wife. He said that's when he knew he had made it. When she's having sex and she was like, yeah, nigga. Yeah. He said, yes, finally.
Yeah. It's just tragic if white people use it.
Yeah. You know? It can't go no other way.
It changes into something completely different.
You can't say... I've heard the most positive way white people said it and they still got drugs, so I knew. I've heard them say, look, we're not going to say that word. We're not going to say nigger in this class. And right there, it's you just said it.
No.
A white person could say, you're not this. You're black people. You're not a nigger. And it's like still, whoa.
So there's just some white people that just think they're niggers. They're going to say it. They don't care who's saying it.
They grew up.
And they're going to say in front of cops and niggers, anybody. They believe they're niggers.
Yo, Mike, I was watching a video and two white people was about to fight. Two white dudes. And they kept saying, nigga, what's up?
Oh, my God.
Right hand
what are you doing?
And I was looking around like, where's the nigga?
They don't say it in front of you. They don't care. They think who they are. They're going to kill and die for it. That's how intense that was.
And they'll tell you where they grew up to, like that matter. Yeah. Like, I grew up around.
I go around you.
Well, Rappaport, remember Rappaport?
Yeah, but he and his tense of deeds kind of
guy. Did he? Rappaport said it?
No, well, Rappaport said when he was a kid.
He's not tense like
growing up in Brooklyn, him and his buddy were like saying it a lot. And his dad busted in the room and was like, whoa, what's going on in here? You know, and they didn't understand. Because they, you know, and he's
until
just
he did,
like...
Until he did Higher Learning.
Yeah.
He did the movie, and then he probably got it better understanding of it. Shit.
Fuck, man. What are your thoughts on death, man? Are you a God-fearing man?
I'd say so.
Religious, spiritual?
A little bit of both of that, man. Because God, I feel like I make a lot of mistakes. And I talk to God on my own. I don't ever know somebody's relationship with God. Like I could be holding hands in a prayer circle, and when we let go, I say, God, I don't know none of them niggas. Let me talk to you by myself. They could be lying. Let me tell you what I need. This is what I need. And I pray for things. And sometimes, like today was a good day because I was a good example. I was looking for a green jacket, and I always ask God for stuff. Like my bag be coming out. I'm like off the plane. I'm like, God, I hope my bag is here. You be like, God, I hope I land safe. So I got ready to say, God, where my green jacket? I said, Nah, I didn't ask the. The nigga for too much already. Let me not ask him about this green jacket because this might be a lottery ask or something. This might be my last ask. So I'll say, but I do believe I got in trouble a long time ago because I was talking about the Bible and I said, I don't know who really wrote it. So someone said, it's not about you speaking about the Bible, about as far as God goes, but as far as what drives a lot of people and what a lot of people believe in. So don't speak badly of it because it does inspire. And you mm-hmm. don't want to talk about the things that inspire people. But between just me and God, I feel like there's no way I would have gotten to if it wasn't somebody looking out. I'd have been in too many messed up situations that somebody had. Even if God had an assistant down here, just looking out, I've been in too many situations where I was supposed to be somewhere else or doing something different, you know? And so, yeah, I'll say that, man. I gotta believe.
Why do you think we ask a lot from God all the time? What do you think we're willing to give to God? Because I'm real selfish. I don't think I'm really gave anything.
I say that too. I say I don't think. Or the things we thank Him for, that sometimes thanking Him for something like God. Thank God the police ain't pulled me over with these guns in my car.
Why do you think He should thank you? No, really. I need to understand. Why do I think God should thank me? Why do you think He should thank you? Why don't you think He should thank somebody? Somebody else or something.
I thank God. Why should you thank? You're right. That's a good question. I think
or
God
why
ultimately,
should he
okay,
bless you?
Okay. I think God ultimately looks at who your true spirit is and the position you got put in. I don't think He places you in those positions. I think when you land here, you're all landing in the position you're in, and your choice to be angelic in the moments that you know are serious. God. Like, I have this thing where if I see a homeless person, I get a feeling if they're, and I'm not saying I'm psychic, I get a feeling if they're truly wanting something in life and truly homeless, and that person I'll help, that I could feel the other person.
He really doesn't want anything. Why is it your concern he doesn't want anything or not? Maybe he doesn't want anything. Fuck, he doesn't want anything, but he needs to be fed.
No,
why
no.
Why don't you look at it from that perspective?
Because my mom did dope most of my life, and I've watched people need to be fed narcotics. I watched people need to be fed things they didn't need. I've made these choices before as a young man growing up. I know when I needed to be fed and what I was willing to sacrifice, because some people I'm willing to give that food to. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe I know who to throw the ball to. Maybe I know who needs this alley-oop in these moments. Or maybe I'm not going to not feed the one we're talking about, but I'll get back to him. But there's a line with everything we do, Mr. Tyson. There's a line we're in, and we don't even know why we're in that line. And you step out of that line for a second, somebody moves up. But I do that with everything I do. There's comedians who I truly help. I see it in them. They could not be funnier than the guy who wants to go on stage, but it's a spirit in them, and I feel it. I've always felt like this.
So you decide who needs to be helped or not?
And no, but who needs to be helped by me?
Yeah. Really?
Who needs to be helped by me? Because we all decide that.
No, I don't know. I think that whoever needs to be helped don't have no objective. It's just no feeling that you should be helped. I don't think about their life. I'm not personally involved with them.
But you just said that earlier today. Not to say that you're being contradictory, but earlier you're talking about the Rothschild and the other person.
Yes.
So let's speak of the Rothschildren.
Yes.
I'm putting my life and I'm the bank at that moment. I'm making a decision to invest in that person's situation for the moment because I've been in dire situations. I've called people when I needed things and I know why they didn't help me. I have to be accepting on the other side also. I've seen people get things that I thought I should have gotten and not been envious because I've never been. My biggest compliment to someone is always I'm jealous because I'm not afraid of that thing that people say, oh, you just jealous. I'm not afraid to say I'm jealous. So I'm gonna work harder is the rest of the sentence. So I want to when I decide to be that person delivering what I'm giving to someone, whether it be time or conversation, I can't talk to. I talk to somebody. I might talk to somebody who gonna go talk to 30 people rather than talk to one person who feels selfish and not gonna go tell nobody the system to better everybody else. I wanna talk to somebody when I die tomorrow, when they share the information, they gonna share to people that know that life is not forever. I don't wanna tell to somebody who like, I'm gonna keep this to myself. So it don't have to always be the financial help. It could be any kind of help. But my mother did dope, and I've consistently tried to.
So pretty much, that's just like what we were talking about with the Rothschild. Just since you didn't go by this rule, you're canceled out.
They're not canceled out, but in my mind, like you said, why should God thank me? That's where we started from. In my mind, I feel like I've been a great judge of character, and this is from selling dope all the way to jokes. I'm gonna be honest. Mm-hmm. I've been a great judge of character. I don't believe every police is a fucked up person. I like to read the people and the person. I don't believe everything that I'll hear politicians say something that sound fucked up to everybody because we're looking for the fucked up in it. And I'll go, this is, I get, I want to take I'm sorry for being so weird. I like to take my life and people around me. Everything is like groceries with me. Everything. I'm a good friend. I'm a different kind of friend. Like, I'm not a pick you up from the airport friend, but I'm a friend who sends you a car. I don't mix my groceries up. Like, if I know you're a freezer nigga, I'm not going to put you in a fresh produce aisle, because we do that a lot with people. We say, so you, why should somebody expect so much of you just because you're Mike Tyson, and they're trying to put you in an aisle that you're not in? That's not your aisle. So if they love you and fuck with you in the aisle you're in, they'll never be disappointed by what they expected of you. So I treat everything like groceries and food. I'll take the most fucked up thing, like a politician say. I'll take the nutrients of what he said and shit out the rest. Yeah, like, I feel like Trump is the kind of guy who's like, yo, don't step in my yard unless you're cutting it. You know, unless you bring something. But there's certain things that he's done that got him to the position he had. I want to know what those things are, the positive things are, that got, whatever they were, positive, sneaky, whatever got, whatever the good, whatever it is. And then the other shit, yeah, the shit he be saying be fucked up. But what got him there, and how could we get a black person or somebody who cares about us in power there with that same money, the same thing to try to figure out a way to keep us all here who care about immigrants, care about this, care about that. So I say, I just treat it like food. Everything's like groceries. So I'm not well, saying.
That's what you're saying is what everybody want to find out. We want to find out how come the poor man is fucking blessed and how come the fucking rich man is cursed. We want to know that. That's just what basically you're saying. Why is that? What we know right now about Mr. Trump is that the light is on him now. And when the light is on you, nothing can stop you. You can say fuck you, motherfucker, fuck you, America, fuck you, niggas,
and how he is,
and nothing can stop you. How life doesn't last forever, but when it lasts, it's unstoppable, you know. And we don't want to believe that he has the light, because some of us have such disdain, taste for him. How could he get the light and not me? I'm more loving than him. I'm more responsible than him. I have more class than him. I take care of people more than him. I'm just so much better than all around than he is. Why did he get the light?
Right, so that's more so what we were just saying collectively, you and me, kind of, that when I do deliver whatever bit of little bit, try to be a glimmer of light or a glimpse of light for somebody, my decision making that got me here, no one's ever said, oh, he gave him money and didn't give me money. Or nephews and nieces, like when my nephew's grades weren't good and one was good, I gave them both the same money. I said, because this is not dictating how you're doing in school, because I remember I wasn't that good in school. Took me 5 years to get out of high school. Anybody out there know that I was smarter on another level. I wasn't smart with every day. I said, I'm going to have these people that are in this school who are smarter than me, who are talking shit, I'm going to get them all jobs working for me, and not in a way to say, now you work for me. Never done that. I'm going to get you a job because you're good at what you do. And that's what the energy I want to give out. Comedians talk shit about me. People say I was been an asshole and I was never nice. Whatever they want to say, they don't know. My mind state was I was being a businessman first. And when I try to say that to them, it bores the average comedian.
What kind of businessman you want to be?
I want to control everything. I want to be.
Well, hey, take it easy. Hey, listen, I love this part of you right now. What happened to you? Why are you so intense with?
I have no idea.
Why do you want control? Why do you want power? Did somebody hurt your feelings a long time ago?
No, I just watch people's feelings get hurt. I like when doors are open, and if the only reason the door should be closed is because we locked it ourselves. I like doors, and I like making doors and building doors.
Yeah,
I like people saying I like when a young lady tweets, "I'm taking my last $300 to take some homeless people to the." I want her to be like, I want to get her a place. I want to get her. You know what I'm saying? I'll take my last money if I believe in what. If you're ahead of me, it's just always been like me. I tell people this all the time. Well, I'm helping you with money because I've reached out to people and nobody fucking helped me. I remember the moments, but I'm not mad to people that did it and they had the money. I watched them buy a fucking watch for a bitch and do this and that. I'm like, yo, well, people owe me money and they went and did other things before they got back to me. Whoever's in the position of power at that moment to make the best decision should have that power. While I'm going to hold on to the water and I'm on fire, if you out the fire, I'm going to give you the water so you can pour it on me or keep moving forward. We rarely treat our hustles like a baton. Nobody ever passes it forward. Everybody never understands the relay race and it could come back to you again. Nobody. So I think I want that. I want that power to be able to distribute and it come back and people understand. And not for the good or bad. I love barter system. They'll tell you I'm not a front. Anything you see me fucking looking like I'm shining, this shit was free. Or I had to make a decision when they was doing Hip Hop Squares to say, give me back, give me both shirts or give me the watch. And I was like, let me get the watch because the watch will put you in a room with the situations to be able to have a better conversation, to get more watches for more people. You know what I mean? So that's what I want to be. That's my, so my passion
pretty,
is so
you're pretty much saying that you did this yourself. No one helped you.
People help me with conversation, but no one's ever given me nothing that I didn't give back like four or five times. I had to.
You can't expect to get anything back when you get it.
I've said this a minute. Every time I give money to somebody, I'm like, I'm giving it to you. They said the best way to get rid of people is a loan of money. I'm saying that's in another light of it.
I believe in that too.
But like right now, like I'm like what you're doing right now. You're taking your it's in your time. It's in your moment. We on Tyson Ranch. It's all your shit. Like I want my shit, and I don't want to have to. You've been through whatever you've been through to get here. I don't know what ins and outs. I only know what I grew up watching and what parts I loved and how you always my champ. But I don't want to fight the way you fought, sir. I don't want to take a rib shot. I don't want to did not. I want and I still want to figure a way where everybody can get to. I still want this.
Hey, check this out. Right, this is interesting. You say that. You don't want these rips. You're going to get it. To get this, you're going to get it.
I want my knockdowns to be different. I'm saying.
To get what you want in life,
yeah.
You're going to get those shots. You're going to get hit. You're going to get knocked down. You're going to get the feel of it.
No, I've been hit, but I'm talking about the way you hit people. No, I don't want to get
No. You're not getting this.
I know what you mean, sir.
Life, you're going to get it. You're going to get it because this doesn't come without a price.
Right.
None of this stuff
comes. All the things I go through and all the things I've been through, I'm saying ultimately this is what I was politely saying, sir, I want to get to this point, but you're employing people happy to go to work, comfortability, and to know that your name is on something that you can leave, that people cared about what you did rather than just stepping on your name on a Hollywood square and say, who is this? I've walked up and down that street, and there's so many stars. I go, what did this person do? Like, and what was the other side? Because it's
That's why we live in the day of information. You find out while you're looking at them on your phone. Boom.
Yeah.
What he did.
Yeah, man. You know what I mean. I was like,
no, really, you do. That's what I would do. Boom. That's what I look at. Cause information.
Mike is just constantly downloading information.
Yeah, I want to be the information giver. I mean, I can't explain it, man. I want to invent, like, this. They want to invent something small that everybody needs.
Imagine you were the giver of information. Imagine that. Can you handle that? No, really. You think you said something really intense? Can you handle that?
Give my information?
No. You're the leader of information.
Be the giver of information.
Of course. I love giving information.
Really?
I love looking at the maze and making it amazement.
Who created God?
That's not in the Google. You can't Google that.
No. Who created God?
Who created the thought of God?
No. God.
No. It's the thought of God.
No, God is no thought.
No, it would be who created the thought of God because somebody had to.
God gave you thought. There's
no
thought.
So, right, so when you got here, God gave you thought, so you have the thought of God first.
No, that's not the thought of God.
Before the presence.
I don't have the thought of God when I first opened my eyes. When I first opened my eyes, I don't want to know what the fuck is going on.
Oh, I'd be like, thank God, I'm up.
My father, mm-hmm. hospitals and whatever else, the first bed I've been in, whatever it is I remember. But I don't have no concept of God.
I'm never going to say who created God. That's something. Come on.
No, but you're the master, you're the giver of information.
But even that information not in here.
Excuse me?
Even that information not in your phone. You can't Google that. You can't God Google that.
Try it. Let's see. No,
because God can be like, oh, you checking me out? What you want to know? No, Mike, it's Wednesday. I'm playing a lottery, man.
No, God gave you that mind. Hey, you think you want to know something? Figure me out. Figure why I put you in this planet. Figure why I gave you a purpose. Figure the purpose that I gave you. Figure it out.
Yeah, sometimes you outside. Sometimes people leak outside of their purpose, like you said. But God also gave us the minds to make decisions, and the mistakes. See, I was listening as you gave me information earlier.
Yeah.
I'm taking all this in. You know how much this class will be talking to you,
Professor Tyson.
Yes.
Hey, you ever think about everything that ever happened to you, all the people you drove by and called? Who the fuck is he? What's my purpose to even know this person? What's my purpose? Why did I beep at that girl? Why did I even meet this guy?
I beeped at the girl.
How did I get her as my publicist? You know what I mean? How did that happen? How did I get an agent? How did I get here? How did I get around here with Tyson them and doing that this podcast? How did this first start? How did I get the fucking desire to be on that fucking mic that first day? Yes, to want to be a comedian. Where did that come from?
You're right.
that feeling. I want people to look at me and see me.
This is just way too.
But even if I wasn't seen, I still want to be part of comedy in some kind of way.
No, but it's just that thought of this. Like you said, it's a thought. It's a thought. What gave you the thought of the courage? Nobody would have that fucking courage. This is where I belong. God put this in my mind. This is where I belong. I'm walking up. You can't pay me to walk to a mic. And for nothing. Just to go up to this mic. You can't go up to that mic right now and just start entertaining right now off the cool, right off the back. No, I'm not doing that shit. You crazy?
I think you can do it. You already do it. You're touring and doing it.
No, but I wouldn't do it if I'm not ready. Right now. Do it right now, Mike.
Right now, Mike.
Get on the stage right now and do your show. What? Oh. Fuck no.
Well, we kind of do that.
No, I'm talking about me going on stage doing my one-man show. Right now, Mike. Get out the seat. Take off the headphones. Do it right now.
No.
No
way.
Hell no.
It's hard.
Well, I know when Mike get intense, I start sweating. He start asking me about God and all that.
Couple of intense dudes in here.
No, because it's a trip. Because sometimes you think about God and you say, "I said, boom." You wake up in the middle of the night and you say, "Wow, I'm what 53?" I said, "There's no way I'm gonna see 53 more years." So what happens after that? Do my eyes close when I die? Do I wake up from a dream? What happened? I can't imagine this energy I got just blacking out, not existing no more. So where does it go? You know.
We'll find out one day.
One day.
God will show you when you get there.
It has to be magnificent because life is magnificent. Yeah. You know, how could life be magnificent and death be bad? How could God want to create you and make your life miserable for dying?
That'd be dumb.
My whole thing, since we're talking deep, I'd rather die regular, though. You know what I mean? Because you never know if after you die, you got to come back looking like you went. You know,
what's
I don't
want to
be.
About?
I don't want to be decapitated. And I come back. I got to hold my head around.
We never saw a decapitated motherfucker walking the streets of riding a horse, have we?
Zombies?
Excuse me. Yeah, I've seen zombies.
I love zombies. Yeah,
definitely zombies.
I believe zombies. I believe that's real. Could come back.
Yeah.
Graveyards are getting full.
They are among us already.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what I think is also an interesting tie-in is you're in a show called Snowfall.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a good show.
And we had Rick Ross on the pod.
I think so.
Freeway Rick.
But that was with John Singleton, so I think they've had conversations too. Did he not say that?
I don't remember.
He said that Snowfall was based on his story. I don't know.
Okay. Did he say it happily?
He's got some straightening out to do. Like, for instance, the rapper Rick Ross, he feels like he's paraded around as an ex-drug dealer, the Freeway Rick Ross, and is unwilling to relinquish his name and all that shit. So
he probably won't let the name go, but I think that anybody should pay. If you start rapping and your name Mike Tyson, you got to pay. You know, I think that's just fair.
Yeah.
I like fair. That's another thing, too. I like what's right. If you know it's right. And I didn't know that when he first came out, though. I like the Boss song. I didn't. I had no idea that was.
Yeah, I know. I know.
But I'll say Snowfall is John Singleton always had a thought process of how, you know, with the cocaine game, getting here and everything. Even though he was removed himself, he was around the people and stuff like that. And I think him and Rick have had not in depth, probably.
I'm sure they the have. Go. Yeah.
Because he don't step into – he don't want. I know he usually don't want to step into too many worlds that he don't do the right
– understand.
Nigga don't want to get sued, anything.
So. For sure. It's season two?
Season three now.
Season three. And tell us about your character and where the show is at right now.
You got a publisher. You making money now? How that fucking shit feels? You got a nice car and shit?
I'm not a car dude, so I got the same car I've had since 2007.
All right, cool. What kind of dude are you? Got a house, cool house.
Like houses,
yeah.
I like homes. I like going places.
You like one of those guys like to save money?
I like
to spend and shit.
I do a little bit of both.
How do you do both? That's interesting.
I do
saving
both
and spending.
Okay, I do both by I go and I perform, and I'll take the money I perform with, and that's why I invest in my shows that I do all the time. I still produce my own comedy shows.
How's that coming along?
Oh, fun.
Really?
It's my favorite thing to do. But I'll take the money from the shows, put that up, or invest in my show, and I'll take the money from the after party I get paid, and I spend that. Which kind of counts each other out. So I get paid to party in places, and I come to L.A. and pay to party. So it's fucking weird.
Where do you live?
Chicago, here. Oh, okay. I'm in Hollywood here, too.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Nice.
But yeah, my character, Peaches, he's just a murderer.
That's it. It's a killer.
That's quiet killer. That's it. I just shoot people. That's it.
You ever think about winning awards and shit, like for movies and stuff?
I practice.
Yeah.
Nice. How does that feel?
My awards.
How does that? I mean, you probably get to bring in a lot of comedy into that character.
No. You practice in the mirror?
Is it a really dark character?
I practice all the time, like for no reason. I practice everything. I also practice being
a... That's what I used to do, too.
I practice on the elevator. Like, if the elevator going to crash, I practice, like...
Get out of here, man.
I swear to God.
You're crazy, dude.
I do. I practice, like... I practice because I've been in acting roles where they talking about you got to act like you're intense. And I'd be like, oh, shit. I just did a show on the elevator. And I got it. So, yeah. I practice everything, man. I practice, you know, practice talking to the girls, practice the Mac, and practice comedy.
That's awesome.
So you like acting as well?
Yeah, it's cool, man. It's a step outside yourself, you know, especially the, you know, like getting to do things like what I did on Empire and that one. I'm just shooting my, like 21 Jump Street.
Yeah.
Shooting guns and just shit. I look weird doing it. Shit, I'm like, what the fuck are you doing?
No, you look good, though.
Yeah, I think I got a couple movies coming out. Like that, I never think about that. I think about producing, yeah, but I think more so of producing the film that I'm in, so I can have more.
You're a big picture guy.
Yeah,
you like the.
I like what John Singer. That's why I'm glad it came up. I like that he wanted to do. You want your story to get out. You know what I mean? You want it to be told correctly, not like telling other people's story correctly.
I guess
when your movie coming out?
I don't know.
Is Jamie still playing you?
It's supposed to be that way.
I wouldn't want nobody else. He the only nigga that could do it. I mean, I ain't gonna say that.
I was the kind when I was a young kid and I was fighting this stuff. I was so egomaniac. I wanted to be always in the front. I didn't give a fuck about back and who's making more money. This is me, motherfucker. Look at me. When I was like 2018, that was just my mentality. I used to never was nobody as a kid. I just wanted to be somebody. I wanted everybody to see me and shit.
I think you achieved that.
Yeah, very much so. People definitely see. People can't unsee.
You realize that, yeah.
The comparisons is the thing that I crack up all the time. Like it'd be two little bitty boxers, and they'd be like, "He's like the mic." I'm like, "Get the fuck out of here!"
Yeah.
You ever seen him fight? You know, just for no reason, and you can watch him 100 times for no reason. I just go to YouTube and be like, "God damn!" Like it changed your day, man. You'd be like, "Look at the amount of just."
Energy.
And then there comes a time in your life that's a blur. You don't even think about that no more. You're on this next journey. That doesn't mean anything. The thirst of, you know, success and hunger is still there. You have to move on and on and on. What am I going to do after this? Do banking now? What if I'm still alive? This is just what it is. You got that thirst to go on. You want to be successful. You want people to see you. You want people to know you're the best. You were that poor kid. You don't want to ever go back there again. You don't want your kids to go back there again. My kids think I'm a nut.
Yeah, I've said that a lot of times. I don't want you broke again. You say that a lot. I've said that a lot of times. Like, damn, I'm broke again.
That's not true. But you're talking about you don't be able to have any more cash because there's some of the richest people in the world and that's financially and spiritually broke.
Mm.
We all have to fight that, you know, that battle within ourselves.
Yeah, that's consistent.
Yeah.
Many times you wonder
everybody's going to make money, but everybody's not going to have that spiritual awakening.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. I always think about that. Like you never, it's moments you wake up, you're not happy all the time. You're wondering what's going on, what's missing, you know. And moments like that, I ain't gonna lie, the moments to pray, the moments to just not. And I ain't gonna say I'm not talking about the super spiritual. I'm talking about, hey God, I don't know what I'm feeling right now, but whatever it is, help me just figure it out. That's me. My prayers be like, I don't know what this feeling is. Like, I hope everybody okay. Like, it's in your stomach. You're like, what needs to be done that's missing? Because it's not the money thing. You know what I mean? I've left casinos and have won big and still didn't feel complete. So I know, you know, the feeling. Mm-hmm. That rush was just that moment of playing. But you still feel like, and I've woke up in the bed with lovely situations and still didn't feel like my whole, like, you know.
Because we don't understand that concept of self-love yet. You know, how could a guy like maybe 20 years, 19 years old have all the money in the world, all the girls in the world, all the best liquor in the world, the best weed, the best cocaine, the best everything money could buy, and I'm just still upset and happy and I want to die? Why is that? Because I have no perspective of love of self. So I act out by being the meanest and nastiest motherfucker on the planet because you haven't had that concept of self-love. It's not something that you easily grasp. I don't know why. You know, a lot of us say we love ourselves and we do this and do that. Me loving myself is going out with a hot chick or buying a great car or a house or a plane or a great suit or something. That was my aspect of loving myself when I was younger. That's what I believe loving myself was. Not getting any rest, not taking care of myself, not, you know, eating the proper foods. You know, not just caring about me, just meditating. I had no concept of love, of self. Mm. And so you have to go through that really dark moment in your life to become humble to fucking, before it could even be allowed to surface. Mm.
It's true, man.
Damn.
Well, you come in and everybody's got chaos in their head, you know? Our parents, the people that around us, our teachers, our family, you know, the other kids. You know, so you come in and you're just in the midst of chaos and it's just constant shit flying, you know? People putting each other down, fucking criticizing, judging. Yeah, exactly.
Who in your family think you owe them something? Who and your friends think you owe them something? They were there before you hit, so just because they're present, you owe me something. I was just there. You did more for me than I did for you, but I was just there when that went down, so you kind of owe me.
Don't got no friends like that, Mr. Tyson, fortunately.
I have
my one friend, the Larry. Larry's my friend.
Shout out to Larry.
Larry Love.
Law Dog. But other than that, I don't really
Larry,
got no.
What do you have that Larry's only one friend? You must have been a miserable kid.
No.
You had no friends, man.
I really did, man. I really did. I can't think of nobody. No, man. I love
them. I don't know if I had friends when I was a kid, but when I'm 10, 11 years old, 12, I can go in any neighborhood and never have to worry about people bothering me. Matter of fact, I would rob people in any neighborhood I would go in, and people say, "That's that fucking dude, that fucking dirty ass Mike." They would know. Everybody knows.
Well, I mean, that guy. The concept of what a friend is people was around me, but I never was like, oh, it's a group of guys you can associate me with, because I got brothers and sisters all day long. I guess that was more like my big brothers, like my friends and people like that. So I never really had like, my mother knew I was never influenced by shit. I was never. That's why. I'm getting to my kids, a daughter, but I never had that influence. No one could ever talk me into doing shit. I used to sit and look like, well, y'all have fun doing that shit then. I never had a push pressure, because my mother was, I was like terrified of her for one, and drug addict or not, she had this hold on me that was like, you know, she probably the person that says, you know, I owe her something, because how she is every now and then, she'll say like, she don't know. Maybe she'll know she's lying. She'll be like, I remember I told you to get into comedy. I'm like, you ain't never told me. You've never told me. Ruby Renee Davis, you've never told me to fuck with no comedy.
That's really funny. But
I'll let her say it. I'm like, Mom, remember I told you to get on stage? You said, I remember when I first named you. I remember when I first said DeRay. I knew that name was going to be. I'm like, Mom, you never called me DeRay growing up at all. And then when I made my name D, my name is Antoine DeRay Davis. When I said I'm going to go by D-Ray, and it, whatever it did, however the fuck, what I'm supposed to be now, she'd be like, D-Ray, my son? I'm like, yeah, all people. It's definitely people like, I say older people that was involved in things that I thought was glorified then.
You know, one of the smart niggas that stayed away from them bad guys, huh?
Nah, I just like to... Like, I was one of the niggas driving a Corvette when I was, like, 15 or 16, because the older drug dealer dude trusted me because he knew I'm going to get shit done. They knew I was going to get shit done.
You were the worker, huh?
I got shit done, man.
That's how
I always figured.
Interesting.
I always wanted to figure stuff out. My older, like, even when I started comedy, the guys who were helping me were, like, 40 and 50 years old. And they just was like, they'd rather give it to me, the money. They knew I'm going to flip it. I'd be like... Like, going in the room saying, hey, man, this ain't a drug deal. I'm going to take this $10,000. Give me a week. I'm going to bring you back $15,000. They're like, and it's not a drug deal. It's a comedy show. Motherfuckers are like, get the fuck out. Now, you know if you don't bring back my money, I'm like,
I'm going to kill you.
I got it. You. But give me $15,000, and then you get $13,000. You walking that motherfucker shaking like a motherfucker. And I'm like, here, $2,000. But I kept the two, and I'm going to flip. You're like, man, I had them moments, but I would take that and I was flipping it. I was flipping that. I was able to do it.
Wow.
I could never sell drugs. Drugs just was too slow for me. Selling drugs was too slow. Standing on the fucking corner all day.
Nah, I did. I probably stood on the corner all of the years I've done whatever I was supposed to, probably 14 days, maybe 2 weeks total, because I was always like, It's a way around this shit.
Where's the excitement of standing on the corner waiting for a fucking
nothing?
Transaction?
Nothing but them little boys going to get new J's. But what's exciting about being a nigga 16 years old with pounds is very exciting.
I could see that being exciting. Yeah. I just never gotten.
I could walk in a room and know. I could walk. You could put it in my hand. I don't even need it. I never had to weigh it. I know if it was right or not. I knew it was bunk. And I knew the little kids who was like trying to come up, and I knew I could take some bunk weed, mix it with that sugar water, throw it in the microwave, puff up, and go sell it real fast.
I understand that. That didn't make sense. Why would I sit down and sell it all day when I can wait for you to do it? And once you finish selling, I just say, give me that fucking shit.
Yeah, but you would know I go. But we knew. Hey,
later I'll hang up right over there. Come over there.
Hey, but we knew those. But we knew those guys too. We knew those guys that was going to do that too. And they and I was so cool with them that they'd be like, D, they making rounds today. Get the fuck up out of here. And oh, I'm like, yeah, and I'm like, I got it, bro, because I had to other situations too. And nobody had girls. Like, nobody had to do it.
He's romanticizing the whole lifestyle. He loves it.
No, I just knew the company. No, I just love. I just love the cup. I love the cup. Like the Nino Brown shit. I ain't like all that. Like I don't want to see people all cracked out and everything. You know, my mom, like I said, she went through her era with the drugs. So I ain't really rock with that. But the other shit, man, like just on some, to see people making money now, weed is fucking hilarious. Yes. That the government, I'm like, you motherfuckers. I was hiding the shit out of.
Wrong. They've been lying to us for so long about so many drugs that they still hide from us and tell us it's bad if we use it, we're going to jail.
Yeah, man.
I'm hurting myself and you're going to put me in jail. That's what you believe. You're going to put me in jail from hurting myself. I'm going to get locked up for years to prevent me from hurting myself, but you're locking me up with killers and murderers and rapists and the savages. You know,
because I smoked crack.
Yeah, exactly, 100%, 100%.
Thank you, Mr. Government.
What's your feeling on the state of things, the government, Trump, this new election? You have any thoughts?
I think it slipped away. I think people didn't pay attention in certain instances. I think we put people in positions of power, and once they get there, you got mad when they was exactly who they told us they was going to be. Mm. Trump has been the same guy as far as I see. I never saw him as. I always thought he was funny when he wanted to be funny, like whatever they did, the acting and the Home Alone and the show, whatever he did, the Apprentice. I always thought that was always funny, but I never looked at him like he gonna sit down with some niggas and be okay with it. So they put him in a position of power. They put all this emphasis on what popularity is now, just like. He was saying everything's TV, everything, this driven, that driven. So he already had the votes, and then he talked that shit. From the way a black person talk about black power and get people to follow him, he talked that white shit, and they was like, cool.
Hell yeah.
He came out with a white rap album. Jesus. With everything
that's really older people wanted to hear. Put it that way.
They wanted to hear, and they was like, we buying this right now. This shit finna go platinum. And they went and motherfucking bought it. Even the people that's uncomfortable with now got it home and realized it all wasn't hits.
His thought was his reality, and he made it reality.
I mean, the great thing is, the best thing about Trump is that hopefully he woke up a lot of people. You know,
and you say what you got to do, man.
You know, that's the best thing that happened because we were all asleep. You know.
Well, we seen smidgens of it though. We would see like not saying it in a bad way. We see like Arnold Schwarzenegger becoming governor. We seen pieces of that kind of not
only, but not only the celebrity, but his rhetoric and all the fucking hate and the shit that he spews. You know, it was like, oh, this is America.
No, I know exactly what you mean by that. But I'm saying, as far as the ability, to win it. Like, remember when Gary Coleman ran
Reagan.
For?
Ronald Reagan like was in an actor. Moment,
town, yeah.
In the moments, I'm saying, yeah, Ronald Reagan was that too. But I mean, like in them, but to see it all happen in the way it did here, like it was a buffoonery for a minute, and here everybody's like, I'm fucking running.
Mm-hmm.
And they knew what it was, and you can't take nothing like that for granted. You can't. Yeah, I never thought you could take shit like that for granted. There's a lot of people that couldn't even grasp that he might win.
I know. People.
I sat
like,
by
no
a black
way.
Dude at a bar, and he was like, Trump finna win. He said, he talking about this, he talking about that. And I was looking at the nigga like, what? He wasn't even talking to me, talking to a young lady. He's like, Trump going to win. He's like, and he going to do this and do that. And I was sitting there like, nah. And in my mind, I wasn't a believer. So
when I saw him on the stage against Hillary, I was like,
it's fucking fucked.
It's fucked. This is over.
What's talking about? It was the lunchroom. Yeah. He hit it with the lunchroom.
Yeah, this is over, dude.
You can't win a lunchroom game. He hit it with the blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Look at the lady talking.
It was,
look at the lady talking. Like, yeah, this is he did, when he did this, when he said, yeah, that shit, yeah. It was like, you.
Wow.
So I'm at home. I'm 50 years old. I've been watching niggas make money. I've been watching. I work for, my son worked for a black person.
It's awful.
And I'm sitting watching Trump go, oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, it's awful.
Everybody, get up.
These
wife, cousin.
Exist.
Sister, niece, get up.
These people exist.
Came out of retirement to go vote.
Yeah, they did.
It's just like going, remember that movie where Chris Rock ran for president?
Yeah.
And he was just, Bernie Mac was like running for the second, right when Chris Rock was this, but it looks like Chris Rock is about to win. All the white people ran down to the polls. That's what it was. It's like, we can win. People were, I think it's people that cared about the climate of finances in America, whatever, that didn't particularly fuck with him as a person.
Uh-huh.
Just the whole thing, man. He put together a little soup, man.
Yeah. Yeah, dude.
That was the soup.
Then you maybe want to be important? Do you feel you want to be important to society?
I don't know what I'm trying to understand clearly. Like,
influential?
By the way, you was talking about that lifestyle and that niggas talk. You was like, you like that lifestyle? Like,
no, wait. But do you want to be a leader in society? Do you feel you want that right? Do you want to uphold that fucking responsibility of being a leader?
Yeah, I like that. But I need to make the note that the way that you just asked me that is the way that they would ask me in rooms about shit. How you just said, you want to be important? That sounds like a mafia. I'm like, wait a minute.
Dude, we had this guy like, here yesterday.
He took a moment. He's like, you want to be important? I'm like, I don't know. What the fuck I got to
maybe.
Right? But yes.
Maybe.
Yes, Mr. Tyson. I would love to be a leader, man. I feel like I'm a leader in the light-skinned community
already.
You already
are.
I agree.
You already are, man.
I feel like not everybody listen to me, but I have a good time talking to people, man.
Yeah.
It's funny when you tell your kids, you're like, yo, check this out. How you going to say I'm wrong when I just did, I'm on tour with Martin. I just did 13,000 people listened to me, but you telling me it's your father that's wrong. I just had 13,000 people cheering, standing up because what I'm saying is funny and obviously right to them in their mind. And you telling me that I'm wrong about telling you about these niggas you hanging around right now. Get out of here.
It's a good argument.
How you going to tell me that shit? You don't know shit.
Well, dude, I think you should have your own podcast.
That's so weird.
No, I'm just going to come to sit on y'all's all the time.
That's ridiculous. You can
come.
You have
come anytime.
You're saying that now, and then you start getting those likes, and you see how many people watching. You say, holy shit, I want more. And you get addicted to that. You say, wow, people really care about what the fuck I'm talking about? I don't care about what I'm talking about. And you'd be surprised.
It might not be as interesting then because I got to have two people smoking weed while I'm in the room.
Oh, you can have that.
For me to have this. Because I'd be like, that definitely influenced my conversation a little bit. I'm definitely something.
Yes.
I'm a little lifted right now.
But it's not bad either.
A little levitated.
I almost drank that water. I'm like,
dude, it's good. It's good shit. Won't get you high. I promise. I wouldn't do that to you.
Stigma of getting high either. That's a good stigma to have. The high getter.
The high getter.
The high getter?
I get high.
Shit, man. Well, before we wrap this thing up, man, is there anything?
What do you want to do? You want to be a superstar? You want to do movies? You want to do some big? I'm fucking.
Put it out there,
yeah.
Put it out there.
I always, I've done those, man. I've done the move. I want to be in a position where I'm doing my own stuff. I want my company on Full Custody Films to be just that, running its own thing, have my own thing, like you said. It starts with things like this. I got to reach out to all platforms and have it done. But, yeah, I definitely want to be a superstar. But more than that, I feel like I'm never going to be a superstar if I don't make somebody as great as I am, like comedically, or somebody get it, or everybody understand. I want comedians to have – my biggest goal right now is for us to have some kind of guild. I've had friends die and had no money because all they did was stand-up, and there's no health plan for just stand-ups. And niggas to take your joke and put it on a podcast. You wouldn't even know. It'd be just an IG guy on here just riffing. And someone would never watch it.
A Comedian's Guild.
Like something like that. Or we don't have a Writer's Guild for like when somebody take your joke and they put it in a movie. I just seen one of my bits on a TV show. And I posted back to back. And I was like, the writer seen my bit. And it should be something. And I'm in the Writer's Guild.
Wow.
I'm in the Writer's Guild. And it says blatantly, but then you got to go prove it's yours. But I just want that respect to comics. Whoever wrote, like he mentioned Richard Pryor, is reasons we talk about people like Richard. He was his own person, his own jokes, his own things, and anything associated with him is his. That's where the ownership in my mind come from. Anything associated with me is mine. And if I make a mistake, because it happens to comedians all the time, they walk past another comic and don't notice they're paying attention to what they just heard. Mm. If I make a mistake, correct me. Say, D, that's such and such bit he started on that day. That's what I need that. But it's a hard place to get to when people, you just go up there. I've told comedians, new comics, they'll do a joke and I'll say, your whole set was funny, but this joke in particular is such and such. And they're like, oh, really? Okay. See the nigga 3 months later, still doing it. Mm. I don't know how to explain it other than like,
you don't
it's like
it.
Your block. It's like the dope game. This is my block. This is my street.
You know, I heard from a lot of entertainers, old guys like Sammy Davis, they said if they had, what they had to tell me, the experience they told me, they said, I worked too hard. I took myself too serious. I should have had more fun when I had that hunger of working so hard. I should have been having fun doing it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Worrying about am I going to really succeed or not.
Just enjoying it. Yeah. Yeah.
It's go for the ride.
That's the ticket.
The
right?
journey. So I'll say that I definitely have a good time putting together shows. I definitely love booking comics. And I can't say I'm not having fun because yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we had this awesome. One. I mean, this is they didn't get these opportunities either. Like, imagine if Richard Pryor could have sat at
a Red podcast.
Fox podcast, or
that would have been beautiful. They would have been cursing at each other. It would have been legendary. Would have been
legendary.
Legendary. Yeah, nigga.
You think? Yeah.
Oh, you would have heard nigga so many times.
Man, all those guys, man, they had their own podcast. That would be awesome.
Yeah. My goal is to have a goal. Damn it.
Hey, it's good to be goalless because then you're desireless. Desireless.
And that's our biggest, that's our closest inclination to the devil, our desire and our ego. I thought I dropped it on you. Our desire.
In Buddhism.
That's the only thing that makes us uncomfortable. We have desire. That's why we get happy. We don't have it yet. My desire is to have that. I don't have it. I'm not happy till I possess that. So that I go through that period of unhappiness just because however long it takes me to possess that. And then I possessed it, and it doesn't make me happy as I thought it would. Huh. It's all an illusion in our minds.
Desires lead to suffering. Desirelessness is how you know when you've reached enlightenment, when you're completely desireless. In the Buddhist tradition.
I just imagined you in a white gown, floating, hair flowing.
Jesus like in the motherfucking house.
The swole Jesus' desires. Excuse me, latte, please. Desire.
I love it. I fucking love that. On that note, we're going to wrap this shit up, man. Dude, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
You are the man.
Thanks.
You're so awesome. That was really fun. Well, you're welcome back anytime.
Thank you.
Anytime.
Mike, great show.
Hey, you got any girls, man? A
couple.
In California that you really like? I know when you start getting famous, they come and they look really nice out here. They look different. They got different energy than any girl on the fucking planet.
True. Learn that from
my
daddy.
Around the planet, you find a girl in Los Angeles have a different fucking whole inclination than any other fucking woman on the planet.
Yeah, the hustle is in them. And
girls from Los Angeles and Chicago, there's no people like them. They're totally different kind of species of people.
Now a little bit of Miami, too. A little bit of Miami got that, too.
No, I don't go to Chicago and L.A. They're different species.
Chicago, love. Yeah.
They're different
species. Compared L.A. and Chicago for something else. Oh,
no, Chicago
gangs,
got that. No, Chicago got that.
Gangs, yeah.
No, Chicago got that. That like the women are really bossy and don't fucking need you at all. I don't need you.
Really smart.
Smart. I don't need you.
Strong women.
I got it.
Strong women.
You know what I'm saying? L.A. is like L.A. is all the women from all over the world that made it in their little cities. They're like, we could all make it. Then they get here. That's why you see a super fine girl working like at a regular place, like Chick-fil-A or something. It's like she ain't got.
You're an actress.
Yeah, she's like, yeah, I'll let you know. I got my headshots in your bag. But all the beautiful women.
Husbands. They're looking for husbands.
Or trips to Dubai.
Yeah. Oh, they're not coming back because then Dubai is going to purchase them.
That's why it's called Dubai.
It's dark. It's a dark road.
Do purchase. Yeah.
L.A., listen, a stop
go,
on
I
the
go,
dark
I,
road.
I go to Dubai, right? I'm with Frenchie. I go to Dubai. Frenchie has a party, right? So I go to Dubai, and Frenchie has the most beautiful girls in the world. I said, where he knows all these girls from? And I'm just realizing, I was out in the street the other day looking in the stores and looking to buy stuff. I never saw any of these people at the fucking the counter, the check. I said, nobody works in the town. So I said, where did all these girls come from? Where do they live at? And they just ship them in.
Huh.
You have to have a party. They ship them from all over the world. You have to have parties.
Crazy.
There's no
party girls.
There's no stability there. There's no people that live there. There's like great buildings, but no one lives in there.
God, fuck that life, man.
You know what I mean? All these great cities, the magnificent city, multi-billion-dollar city, no one lives in the buildings.
Yeah, it's
maybe
so
it's
weird.
Too expensive.
It's so nobody, weird.
So they leave out of the big building and go home to their studio apartment.
It's so weird.
Some new Louboutins.
They offer people. They offer people money to stay. Like some celebrities, they give them money if they live there and stuff.
Damn.
To make it, you
that's
know,
so
to make
weird.
It, yeah.
Like Vegas,
they don't have a structure system. That's what I wanted. They didn't have a structure system.
Infrastructure?
Infrastructure, yeah. They don't have that. They don't have.
Like going to the grocery store.
They don't
going
have a judicial them? System. They don't. Normally, it's just, I have power. This is what you do if he does that. I'm one guy, or this is my family. If he does that, this is what he does. All right, that's all right. That's it's funny. Okay if he does it. Right, this is what's going to happen. We all come to agreement this is going to happen.
They don't have a,
I don't know, yeah.
They don't have the structure. Then the structure, yeah.
Well, over there, if you're caught in a room with a girl and she's not your wife or walking down the street
if
holding
you're in
her hand,
if you're in a room with your first cousin and she's not your wife and stuff, you're in trouble.
Right.
Yeah.
Like what? You can be arrested. Can you be arrested?
If you're in a room with her and she's not your wife, you're going to jail.
Yeah.
Well, how do you in Dubai?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know if it's for the locals. And I know me and my wife make sure that we didn't have too much affection, public affection.
Yeah, there's no public affection allowed.
Yeah. They do some nasty stuff with that. Our girls that flew to Dubai, I've heard some stories.
Oh, but everything's
weird
clothes,
shit.
You know.
Oh, I've heard some girls and let things
weird
happen to
shit.
Them. Yeah.
Fucked
for that quick check.
Shit. Fucked up shit.
$40,000 to let guys do certain things.
Yeah, fucked up.
$40.
$40,000.
Oh, I did $40.
Talking about the extreme models.
Speaking of $40,000.
What happened? Oh, yeah, we did $40,000 worth of weed smoking.
A month.
Yes, but yeah, you ain't gonna get no clear pictures in here. I don't know how them cameras picking up.
It's a little, it's the hot box, bro.
Okay.
You know? Keep it smoky in here. Well, thank you again, man.
No, yeah.
It's awesome.
So what are you doing next?
Still the snowfall is on, Hip Hop Square is on, it's still touring, man.
What's your goal, nigga? What you want to claim to? Want to win one of those fucking awards?
Yeah, man. I'm thinking about, yeah.
Award,
Oscar?
Fucking Oscar, Grammy and shit.
I think I'm going to play him in the movie that, Jamie play you, and I'm going to play him. I can pull out, look.
That's going to be a neat trick.
How was that?
That's
good. Hey, I'm close.
Yeah. I love it.
I love that.
I get
shit.
My muscles up. Give me a couple apple boxes.
I'm growing my hair out long enough so I can get great. Cornrows.
Easy.
You know what I'm saying?
That'd be culture inappropriation, appropriate preparation.
Yes.
I don't know what the fuck it'll
you
be, but I'm just saying
right.
shit and making
make
up shit.
It
I'm
right.
Making... Shit.
Anyway.
Yeah, those my goals, man. Let's get
That's
it.
That's dope. Let's fucking go, baby.
My goal is to make funny.
D. Ray Davis as Eben Britton.
Mike Tyson.
Yes.
All right.
In the house.
Tyson Ranch.
Tyson Ranch baby. As well, yes.
And he's also making Tyson Ranch sauce coming soon.
I really don't think that's so, but. Yeah.
Tyson Ranch sauce is coming. It's
whatever.
Ranch. Have you tasted the Tyson Ranch sauce?
No, it's like Grey Pompon, right?
And all the niggas throw each other in the car? Nah. Excuse me, do you have any Tyson Ranch sauce?
No way. Fucking
Grey Poupon.
Hot sauces are Grey Poupon. Black people, Grey Poupon.
Tabasco?
Tabasco sauce are Grey Poupon.
One of my favorites.
Louisiana tobacco.
All right, everybody. Well,
we're out of here.
Well, I'm going to do Tyson Ranch sauce. You're just going to see. It's going to be a picture kind of like yours on there.
Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Hot Boxing with Mike Tyson. Check out our website, hotboxingpodcast.com.
Yeah, and you think it's going to be bad. Yeah, Jesus, yeah.
Testify. Testify, Tyson.
Until next time, I'm Evan Britton. We're out.
What?